Hebrews chapter 10, we're reading from verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember those early days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathised with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what has been promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved.
Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by making the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Please be seated.
That was the Philippian reading that was on the screen a bit earlier. Last night I got a text message from on high. It said, "When you go to church tomorrow, do not wear a coat or a tie." It came from John Gray. Bless you, brother. In recent weeks, we've been making ourselves familiar with the church's vision. How are you going with that? We've got a vision to see a church that is passionate and prayerful, to see a church that's been captivated by Christ and wants to be obedient to him, to see a church that's generous, compassionate to those outside and to those in need, in a church that's outwardly focused on winning the lost for Christ? Is that your vision? That's what we've been trying to do for these past 6 weeks. Just imbue ourselves with a vision of what our church ought to be like. Is that your vision of the church? Today, we want to add a further part to that vision, that we see a church that no matter what the week has been like, no matter the issues or circumstances in which we find ourselves, and today we could add no matter what the weather, we gather in the eager expectation that God would speak to us. Why do you think we should gather? That's the first question to ask ourselves. Why do Christians gather together? Why should we gather as a group of people here week by week and in our small groups through the week? If you belong to Christ, you automatically become part of the universal church, which is metaphorically gathered around the throne of Christ all the time. What we're doing here week by week is giving a physical expression that we are part of the church of God, which gathers around the throne of Christ. But why do we need to gather? It occurred to me once, I have a fairly warped kind of logic, it occurred to me once that when you became a Christian, why didn't God just whip you off to heaven? There were kind of buses waiting, and when people became Christians, that's all we really need. Let's go to heaven. But God leaves us here because there's a job to do until he's ready to call the whole thing to a halt. And one of the things we do is gather together. And there are reasons in the Bible as to why we should do it. I want to run through some of those reasons why we come together week by week. Firstly, the early church did it. In Acts chapter 2, we read that they gathered often daily and certainly weekly. They met together, and what did they do? They wanted to be taught the word. They dwelt on the apostles' teaching. They met together to read the word of God and to pray. They wanted to pray for their world. They wanted to pray for their witness as believers seeking to add to the number of people. They met also together to have fellowship together, to share with each other, to share their lives together with a tender concern and consideration for each other. That's one of the reasons that we come. Well, there are a number of them already, to be taught the word, to pray, to fellowship together, to enjoy one another as fellow believers in the kingdom of God, and to remember for all time until he comes again the fact that he died on a cross. And so we have the Lord's Supper, which reminds us of his death and resurrection. Also, being a Christian was not easy then, as it's not easy now for a lot of people in our world. So they met to encourage one another to stick at it, to continue to stir each other up, to be people who met together to encourage each other, to hang in there. How are you going, brother? How are you going, sister? Just to be people that would meet with each other and encourage one another, and from time to time admonish one another if they felt that was required. And according to our passage this morning, they met together, they were to meet together to stimulate each other or stir each other up. Often translated, simply means to stimulate each other up to continue to love each other and to go about doing good works in the community and beyond. One of the reasons they gathered weekly at least, if not more, was so that they could then go out. Having been strengthened in their faith, they could go out to serve the Lord in the world and in the community. And so when we come to the end of our services, the minister usually says, "Go in peace." to love and serve the Lord. It's kind of, in the old church service, as it was called, the dismissal. The whole idea was we've come together, we've been strengthened in our faith, now go out into the world, in brackets, I'll see you next week, but go out into the world to serve the world. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. You were meant to go out having been strengthened. So that weekly gathering is a strengthening of our faith. The way they were to express their love for each other was through serving each other with the gifts that they had been given by God. Each one of them had been given a gift, as everybody here has been given a gift. Some people really think, well, no, I was behind the door when God was giving out the gifts to the church. But the Bible knows nothing of that. It says you have some contribution that you can make to your church. We're to serve each other and build each other up as the body of church grows. And as Keith pointed out in his illustration a couple of weeks ago, and he had the hand, one part of the body can't do everything. It requires every part of the body working together. That's the church of God. The letter to the Colossians also gave some advice as to what they should do when they gather together. They were to have a time of worship. Have you ever wondered why we sing hymns and read psalms and sing songs? Well, it's because the Bible tells us to. It was a time to worship and praise God, where they were told, with gratitude in their hearts, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of praise to God, and letting the word of Christ dwell in them richly. The whole focus was to be around the word of God. And so all our gatherings are meant to be gatherings around the word of God. Christ is present in the midst of his people when we meet. The Holy Spirit should be present in our meetings when we meet. Otherwise, whatever we're doing is not the church of Jesus Christ. We might as well be just some other organisation. People say, I go to Probus, I go to Bowles, I go to this, I go to that, you go to church. This is the one thing that is different, because Christ is present here with us when we meet week by week, no matter how small. When two or three are gathered, Christ is present in the midst. We invite Christ to be present in our meetings. We should invite his Holy Spirit to be part of our meetings, because he's the one that the gifts were given by for the building up of the church. And it will be a powerless church if the word of God is not present and the Holy Spirit is not present. Whatever else we might think we're doing, we won't be growing the kingdom of God. So there are a few reasons to meet, and to meet regularly and eagerly. Do you look forward to coming week by week? Sunday could never come quickly enough for me. I'm just one of those people who understood it from a very early age, and Sunday was the high day of my week. I remember some years ago when they first started televising football on a Friday night. You take it for granted now, but there was a time when that didn't happen. And they started to televise football on a Friday night. And the slogan was, thank God it's Friday. I remember preaching a sermon not long after that to my people saying, thank God it's Sunday. Forget about Friday. Thank God it's Sunday. This is the day when you can meet together with the people of God. This is your high day. But the trouble is, we're all human. Many people slacken off. They'd obviously begun to slacken off when the letter to the Hebrews was written, because he's able to say, do not neglect meeting together regularly, as the habit of some has become. obviously were people who were saying, "Oh, I don't think I'll go today. It'll be okay." They are being given a stir up to say, keep meeting together. People today are not perhaps meeting together as often. Some of you will remember, like me, the days when somebody who was a twicer was going twice a Sunday. Now a twicer is somebody that comes twice a month and really thinks they're doing us a favour by doing it. "I'll come along and support you," they say, as if we somehow need the support. And so particularly with not so much with the 8 o'clockers, it was interesting when we were talking about this in the staff room in the last week or two about this. People said it's not so much the 8 o'clockers, they're pretty faithful. And when you look around here, people, this is about the normal number that we get Sunday by Sunday. I think we understand what it means to be committed and to be faithful. Some of the people from our other services really have begun to slacken off and don't quite get the deal that when you belong to Christ, you gather with his people as often as you can. But we are not immune from that, brothers and sisters. We are not immune from that. There can be times when our reasons for not gathering eagerly and regularly, we might think they're pretty good. So I want to spend a little bit of time, and what time I've got left, saying what would keep us from gathering. Well, in the early church, the fear of persecution certainly was something that would keep them from gathering, as it does for our brothers and sisters in at least 50 countries around the world at the moment, where persecution is a real issue. That would be a great deterrent to gathering, because it could mean the loss of your life, or certainly being imprisoned or being beaten up for being a Christian. But the reason of that exhortation in Hebrews 10 is to try and still meet together. So we have brothers and sisters meeting behind closed doors, meeting at 4 or 5 in the morning. And remember the times when communism was at its zenith in Russia. There were people meeting out in forests and all sorts of places, because they knew the importance of the gathering. So fear of persecution was, but that's not an excuse you and I can use. So we ought to forget that one. That's not one that's available to you or to me to miss church. Sickness and health. That might be one that is quite a valid reason why we might be wanting to miss church. We're not well. There is some health issue. There is some sickness issue. I don't think we need to really say that's not a valid reason. It obviously is a very good reason. And if you're sick, then you shouldn't be here. I was so committed as a young pastor in the country, I used to turn up even if I was almost dead, till I had a couple of laymen say to me one Sunday, they came over, came into my house and said, "Stay in bed. We can do this without you, you know." And so they didn't want me over there coughing and spluttering over everybody. They wanted me to stay home in bed. But for me, that was a very difficult thing to do, because I just loved to be with the people. What about if you're unhappy with the church? That's a reason some people stay away. I'm not terribly happy with it. What should you do about that? If your unhappiness reaches such a point that you are so unhappy that it's stopping you coming, you've got to do something about it. You've either got to talk to some people about it, or if you find that that's been a useless exercise, you ought to go and find another fellowship to be part of. But you just don't stop coming. That's not the solution. The solution is to resolve it if possible, and if it's not, find another gathering. But they always say, when you find the perfect church, don't join it, because it won't be perfect from then on. You've probably heard that. But just remember that. Keep looking for the perfect church. Tell me if you find it. Isolation is an issue for some, but it won't be an issue for you and I. Imagine you were sent to be the weather person on the North Pole or something. I've heard people trot this out. Well, how could you go to church? Well, I'd be surprised if you couldn't have some kind of virtual gathering by the internet, at least in this day and age, but that's not your problem, so you can't use isolation. Another reason people would give is the teaching. Sometimes they say it's the teaching we get or don't get. Maybe they feel the teaching is non-existent. Maybe they feel the teaching is not from the Bible. Maybe they feel it is too shallow. And they've been Christians for a long time, and what's being served up to them from the pulpit is really too shallow. I remember thinking that when I was 20. I was a school teacher in the country, in a country church, and the rector certainly had not been to Bible college. And the sermons were usually, from him, were pretty shallow. I was a young person of 20. I'd done PTC. I thought I knew everything there was to know. I remember talking to the curate about this problem. He said, well, you look to me big enough and ugly enough to do a bit of work on your own. So come round to my study. I will ply you with books. We will read the Bible together through the week, and you'll be fed that way while we try and improve the overall tenor of this church. So the preaching may not always be exactly what you want. Let me say, like you, I've been a Christian a long time, and I've sat through some shockers. I've sat through some where I've almost lost the will to live by the time the guy's finished. But I remember what Bishop Short, the late Bishop Short, once said. It's a pretty poor fowl that can't find at least one grain of wheat in the fowl yard somewhere. So I began to have a more positive attitude. Let me look for the positives of what I hear from this sermon this morning. If not, I need to be doing some work on my own to supplement what I think might be the lack, if I'm that proud of my own achievements, as I probably was at the age of 20. Let me come to some other reasons why I think a lot of us give for not coming to church. Laziness and selfishness. These are reasons that we can address. We might have had a busy week. We might have had a difficult week. We might think it would be good to give church a miss. Bed is feeling a great place to be, particularly in the winter. People seem to find it's a bit hard to get out early in the morning. Laziness. We're thinking more about ourselves than we are about serving our brothers and sisters who are also here. See, one of the reasons we come is to encourage one another. If you're not here, you can't encourage me, and I can't encourage you. We need to come together to be doing that which the Bible exhorts us to do. Don't lose sight of the vision that no matter what the week has been like, no matter what the issues or circumstances in which we find ourselves, we gather in eager expectation that God will speak. Do you come week by week wanting to know that God will speak to you in the company of his people? Laziness, selfishness says, I don't need you. You can do without me. I think I'll have a Sunday off today. That's really not a particularly biblical picture, and it's not the one that our vision for this church embraces. Closely related to that is what I call worldliness. The problem now is there's so much on a Sunday to attract us to not be here, so we sometimes have great difficulty in working out what we should be doing. Even when our small group meets, sometimes there are things on through the week at night or in the day that capture our attention. And it is a matter then of prioritising what is the most important thing. There are many good things that now happen on a Sunday which didn't happen when we were very young. And nothing opened. We can all remember when Sunday trading came about. We can all remember when the cinemas opened on Sunday for the first time. We can all remember that sort of thing. So now there's competition when Sunday sport took over for our young people. And some of our young people, sometimes I think our younger members, have not worked out how they can have, if they want their children involved in sport on a Sunday, can bring them to church at another time and things like that. Worldliness is probably the greatest reason for a lot of irregularity in church, as we allow the world to squeeze us into its mould and not to make our priority the meeting together. Vacations is another one. We're now able to take our regular breaks from church, which include vacations and holidays. Do you go to church or make the effort to go to church when you're on holiday? I sometimes try and picture Jesus and his family on a Sabbath morning saying, well, it's a bit hot today. We might slip down to the Mediterranean coast for a bit of a swim and give our synagogue meeting a miss. You can't even picture it, can you? Because the Bible tells us in the Gospels that Jesus met in the synagogue as was his pattern. It was important to him to go to the synagogue. And the Bible says, do these things and all the others will be added to you as well. If we get it around the wrong way, we think, no, this is what I've got to do. How are we hoping that God will add the other things? Because we've already grabbed them. It's meet together, give God the priority and his people, and all these other things will be yours as well. Sometimes when you go on holidays too and you find a little church somewhere that you can meet, it's a great encouragement and blessing to those people to have a few new people in the congregation, that you can encourage them as brothers and sisters from somewhere else. So let me conclude by asking you, what is your vision regarding gathering with others? Is it so important to you that it's your priority? Are you like me that you think Sunday, that's my day? That's when I'm going to meet with the people of God. I can't wait for it to roll around and see the beautiful people that God has given us here in this church. I once asked one of my congregations to have a look around the congregation. Said, if I could get you to pick your own congregation, but work your own out, have a look around here. Who are these people would you pick? Because I was, would I pick that person? But see, it doesn't work that way, does it? A whole bunch of people come and gather here because God brings them. And then we work together to share our faith together, to grow together, to love together and to learn together. And we realize that God has some very precious souls for us to share our Christian journey with. But regular gathering in the eager expectation that God will speak and we will hear his word as we praise him in the company of others should be our top priority, so that we would have a joyful church, that when people come to it, they want to be part of it. And strangers would find a warm welcome. And as the church is gathered and strengthened, then we can go in peace to love and serve the world in which God has placed us. Let me pray. Father, we read in the scriptures that you have encouraged us to meet together. Father, help us never to be slack in this area of our Christian life. Help us to see, no matter what the week has been like, no matter what our circumstances, we will make every effort to gather with your people. Father, help us to be blessed as we gather under your word. Help this to be a place where your word is faithfully and regularly taught. Help us to be a people who care and encourage one another, so that we might build each other up in the faith to go out into the world to serve you, for Christ's sake. Amen.